Hey, Marmac family, welcome back to another exciting episode. Today, we're diving deep into the heart of the Navy's oldest floating dry dock, Mid-Atlantic Regional Maintenance Center's dynamic. We'll talk to the incredible crew who all play a vital role in Dynamic's mission and discover what makes them unique as a command. After that, we'll head over to Fleet Fest during STEM Day to speak with Marmac's STEM team to learn how they're making a difference in our local schools and inspiring the next generation of innovators. And be sure to stick around to the very end to sit in on a conversation between Marmac's commanding officer, Captain Jay Young, and our new Command Master Chief, David Atkins. So stay tuned because there's so much in store for you today on this episode of the Maintainer Podcast. I'm here on Dynamic AFDL-6, which is a floating dry dock asset under Marmac's umbrella. Dynamic is led by her commanding officer, Commander Johnny Stevenson, who's an engineering duty limited officer here in the Navy. His command consists of one naval officer and 29 enlisted personnel. For those of you who don't know, although Dynamic falls under Marmac's umbrella, the dock itself is located on Joint Expeditionary Base Little Creek. I'm here now with Senior Chief Gary Reed, who's going to talk to us in a little bit more detail about the manning and how Dynamic actually functions as a command.
So I'm Senior Chief Reed. I'm the XO at AFDL-6 Dynamic.
Can you tell me a little bit about the background of Dynamic's manning and how important it is for the command?
Right, so Dynamic is very unique. We're a small command. We fall under Marmac as our ISIC, but we are a standalone command. We have 20 funded billets, but it takes approximately 30 to 32 personnel to actually conduct a docking or undocking evolution. So with that being said, we have 20 funded billets. We have 12 that are unfunded. We might have personnel assigned to us, but at any time if somebody's on an unfunded billet, CNRMC or Surfland or Big Navy can come in and say, hey, I need to take this sailor out of your unfunded billet and put them into a funded billet, which then in turn puts us in a position where we may or may not have the right personnel to fill that gap. That's why our billets are so important to us.
Okay.
So everybody plays multiple roles, multiple watch stations on the watch bill during a docking and undocking.
Now, why is Dynamic so important?
So Dynamic supports the Navy's mission as a whole. So all the ships, all the amphibious ships that take LCUs, if we can't get the landing craft in here to do the required repairs and inspections that they need to operate daily, then who's going to do it? Marmac fixes ships and gets ships underway. We are a support system for them. Everything works together. Mm-hmm. They can't do their mission, even though Marmac may get them fixed and ready to go out to sea. Mm-hmm. But if they don't have the craft, then they can't do their mission.
So I'm here with Dynamic's administrative officer, who not only is the command's AO, but he's the only administrative rating on board.
Yes, I am YNC Corey Riddle.
So why is it that you're the one and only admin assigned?
Here at Dynamic, we are fairly small. It only requires one administrative duty.
So can you describe, like, what do you do day to day?
Day to day, I'm the CCC command financial specialist. I am the PS, the YN, the LN, anything admin is.
So when it comes to the mission of docking vessels, does your role change or are you only admin?
No, when it comes to docking vessels, that's the unique part about Dynamic. We all can qualify any position on the dock. The highest qualification for the junior enlisted is dock master. But once you pick up chief, you can get docking officer qual, which is, it just requires a lot of trust from the CO to get that. It's fairly open to whatever anybody here wants, how high they want to shoot while they're here Dynamic.
Do you find it challenging to wear both hats, to be admin and then for your role when it comes to docking the ships? Do they ever clash, or is it kind of just a seamless transition?
Only thing they ever clash with is if I need to be somewhere administratively, if we got an evolution going on, but then again, the evolution trumps everything. But for the most part, never really clash.
That was everything that we wanted to cover here. I think next I'm going to the wood shop.
Actually,
You're famous.
Hello. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm good. So I've been told you're the best tool operators on board.
Gas me up, I don't
Is that true? Not true?
It is.
I'm sorry, what was your full name?
DC2 Christopher Garcia.
And you work in the wood shop just here? Day to day, like what are your tasks?
If we're not in the process of doing a build, we're just maintaining equipment, maintaining all of our equipment on board. But if it's at an actual docking evolution, we'll pre-cut blocks and they'll take the blocks, they'll measure them on the dock. And once we get the measurements, we'll cut, bring it back in here. We'll throw them through the bandsaw to get them a little bit above measurement. And then we'll throw them through the planer to get them a little bit above where it has to be before we put them on the bevel board. Mm-hmm. Because so how the dock will have the blocks have to be when they're actually set, we have one high side, one low side. And so the bevel board will actually give us that high and low side so that the craft can actually sit perfectly on the blocks.
What's the hardest part about like what you do here?
Sometimes we'll send the blocks out to get measured and we'll get them back with the wrong measurements on them. So we'll already cut them, plane them down to the measurements they gave us just to send them back out for them to be wrong. Now we have to go back, do rework and correct those mistakes. Mm-hmm. That'll be the most stressful thing about it. Then we have to replace more than 6 blocks per docking.
Okay, well, thank you for talking to me today. I think next we're going on the dock. We're just gonna have you introduce yourself and what your role is here.
BM2 Harris. My role here is first lieutenant. I basically just center the crab. So as the crab is coming in, you know, like we flood the dock, my job is basically telling all the line handlers to either slack off or heave around to get the crab in the right spot. If you wanna come see, I'll show you. As you see, basically, we have to make sure that the crab is centered on every single, or at least not centered, but touching every single soft cap. So the soft cap is like the piece of wood that's on top.
Oh, okay.
So we have to make sure that every part of the crab is at least touching the wood.
Is that a tough job?
At first it was, but after a while you kind of get used to it and it's not really as hard as I thought it would be, because we also, like, once we think it's centered, we have the divers go in and they check to make sure that every single part of the crab is touching every single soft cap.
Typically, how long does that take?
It depends on how well the line handlers are, you know, handling the line, and usually it can take up to like 30 to 40 minutes.
I just want to say thank you, sir, for inviting me over and just allowing me to see the dock and really understand everything for myself, because I come here a lot and I'm just taking photos, but I never truly have an understanding of everything that's going on and really understanding that's really like an all hands on deck situation here.
Okay, good. I want to thank you guys also for supporting us and allowing us to be part of your podcast. As we work for Marmac and fall under the same umbrella, it's very important that we work together as a team, continue working things out, and you know, we're here to support you guys at Marmac as well.
And what would you say, since you took over command of Dynamic, has been some of your biggest accomplishments here?
When I got here, the dock itself had just came out of a 13-month CNO avail, so the biggest challenge was getting back operational, working out the bugs and all the different instructions that was coming along from the avail that I had to incorporate with docking and undocking the vessel. We got certified through the NAVC certification process to dock and undock. We went through an in-serve, pretty tough time, but we managed to do really well at in-serve. And since January 30th of 2023, we have docked 8 vessels up to today. I think we're ahead of schedule. Normal standards is 8 vessels per year. We're on our 8th one now, and I got 4 more scheduled out for the year. We're pretty aggressive with the schedule here. The goal is to break a record and then keep breaking it.
I feel like you're going to do exactly that. And then you just finished a 90-day maintenance period. How are you able to dock a vessel so soon after recently completing an avail?
Just keeping our eyes on the vision. Doing the initial preparation for the avail, I've already talked with my maintenance team, my project team, and explaining them that Dynamic's mission is all about docking and undocking. And if you communicate early and often with these key players and let them know that the main goal for the dock is to dock and undock, everybody got that same intent in mind. So we had a lot of sit downs with the contractors that was actually working in the avail, and they understood it as well. every production meeting, we'll always talk about, okay, at the end, when the completion of the veil date is there, we're going to dock a vessel. So everybody on the team was very aware, very supportive. And like I said, the biggest thing is like communicating often and early. And that's what we did. We did that pretty well.
Is there anything, whether you want to say to like your team here or just the listeners, is there anything that you want them to know maybe about the hard work of your team here?
You know, since I've been here, I learned a lot. But I also want to advocate for enlisted sailors. The unknown is dynamic, right? A lot of people don't know what we are, what we do. May hear about it, you know, through your podcast, through various avenues that Marmac have as far as, yeah, we dock vessels, undock vessels. But truly, I think this is a gold mine for junior enlisted sailors. What I would advocate is, this is where you want to be. Come here, you do great. You know, you're a sail in your PQS. You get a lot of opportunities to do off-duty training. You know, we promote college. We do community service once a week. So we're doing nothing different than the other command, but we're taking it to a whole nother level. And I would say when it comes to documentation of your professional, you know, and your personal growth, we do that very well here on Dynamic to set you up for the next pay grade.
No, I just from what I saw today, wholeheartedly agree. And I think this is a great place for sailors to be. Well, thank you for talking to me and allowing me to come in and just explore Dynamic in a way I haven't been able to before.
Okay. Well, you come back anytime. You're more than welcome. I mean, really appreciate you coming by. Thank you.
As we leave Joint Expeditionary Base Little Creek, let's catch up with Public Affairs Specialist Harrison Cox at Naval Station Norfolk's annual Fleet Fest, where he speaks with Marmac's STEM team and learns exactly how they're sparking interest in innovative technologies to students in the Hampton Roads area.
Okay, today we are at the STEM Day event on board Naval Station Norfolk. Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with today?
I'm John Mapp. I'm one of the STEM volunteers from Marmac.
Hi, Mr. Mapp. So if you could just talk to me about what the STEM team does here at Marmac.
The biggest thing that STEM Outreach does is we're trying to help get students interested in science, technology, engineering, and math. And the best way to do that is we go to the schools after school time and help students in the STEM programs build robots, program robots, build ROVs, remote operated vehicles. We help them get ready for competitions. And all of this is, if you want to be blunt about it, we're disguising teaching them something in the name of games and playing with toys. And the whole purpose is to get students interested enough in science, technology, engineering, and math that they become specialists in some of those fields when they get out of school and hopefully join the service. And that helps everybody, but especially them.
That is honestly so cool, and I know that Marmac, you know, has amazing talents for STEM. How has it been going with the kids today for the event?
So far, pretty good. We're here all week and until Saturday when they close out.
If you could just run me through what we have here on the table.
All right, so we're starting with right in front of us here with a real basic electrical circuits. It's called snap circuits. Best way to describe it is like Legos with electricity.
Okay.
And you just put together circuits in a variety of configurations. I've got a demonstrator here, just makes noise for the students. So it's a game disguised teaching them how to do troubleshooting. But it's a game made with this snap Lego with electricity. Next to us here, we have the waterborne ROVs from the simplest on the far end there, which is built by elementary school students, to the more complicated and sophisticated one down here at the end, which is built by high school students. And then down farther, we have the ground-based ROVs, same sort of thing. There are competitions for all of these that the students can get involved with. And then all the way at the far end, we've got our 3D printers, which, again, if they understand electricity, they can understand all the rest of the stuff. And so that's how we have it set up. So there's a sort of a continuum of connection between each individual section.
So if a sailor wanted to get involved with the STEM team here at Marmac, how would they go about doing that?
The best way is to talk to either Arvind Prasad in the planning office, or there's some points of contact information on bulletin boards on Main Street and CEP 200. They can contact any one of us at one of our outreach events. Honestly, we can use the help. And just about everybody at Marmac is a specialist in something, whether they know it or not, and we can all know, they might be interested in one of these projects or several others that we're doing, we'd be happy to have them come and help us out. And again, the whole purpose is to build a new generation of tech-savvy kids who will be tech-savvy adults going forward.
Very cool. Well, thank you again, Mr. Matt, for your time, and I'm hoping more kids come around soon to see all this cool equipment.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Charles Miller with Marmac Security. I'm the Operations Security Specialist here. So I just want to go over with you guys a little bit about the election that's in front of us. Be mindful of the things that we're posting online and things that we're talking about. When it comes to politics and religion, we tend to want to stay away from it because everyone has different emotions and different feelings when it comes to those said things. I would just want everybody to be mindful. It's okay to believe what you want to believe in and stand on whatever party or the side of the fence you want to be on, but just be mindful. It's okay for everyone to not agree with you when it comes to things like that. So be smart about it. Don't say something online or text it or email it or Facebook group it. Something that could possibly get you caught up here at work at Marmac, because the main thing we all want to do is be able to speak our mind freely, but let's do it with tact and have, you know, precision on certain things that we're saying and posting. And that goes as well as for our family members and our dependents as well. If you have any questions about things you should post on social media or any things that you are concerned about, I can be found at LF18's quarterdeck. I'm pretty approachable, even though I might have a tough demeanor, but I'm pretty approachable. So again, I'm Mr. Miller, signing off for OPSEC.
I'm here with Noel Parker and Robert Calzdeau from Code 241. If you both could just talk about your role here at Marmac.
I'm Noel Parker. I am a engineering technician for 241. We look at structural issues, paint issues, non-skid issues, and anything that deals with basic structure of the ship to keep it afloat.
Rob Caldo, also 241, a technician, as well as Noel. Yeah, what he said, we do anything from piece mast tile, dry docking, structural stability, as well as coatings and non-skid.
Perfect, okay. And when you both first observed the wear pattern between arresting wires 3 and 4 on the Truman, what made it stand out as unusual compared to just typical deck wear?
So basically, I was the first one to look at it. I flew out to the ship. I went out there and did some probing on the deck, and when I probed the deck, I just basically took a flat, dull putty knife, and I ran it across the deck, and when I did, the skid just popped right up.
Oh, wow.
So, and it was in strike areas where the tail hook had hit, and what they were concerned about was every time the hook was hitting, that it was coming up in chunks, you know, or large sections the size of the hook, and that's not normal. Normally, you do get a little bit of chipping, you get a little bit of flaking, but it was coming up in pretty good sizes. And then where the cables themselves were doing their run out, normally you get wear there, but that wear was in excess of normal 6 to 8 month deployment. It's going to be bare out there. Those cables are going to rip everything up.
They were out for
2 weeks. When I looked at it, they had only been operating for 2 weeks, and they were already stripped bare in several areas. And then we looked at it again 2 weeks later, and it was probably 2 to 3 times worse than what it was when I looked at it previously. So I actually popped samples off before I got carted back off the ship to bring with us so we could, you know, do a little bit of evaluations to see what we had.
So 71,000 square feet is a pretty big area. Can you help the listeners visualize how much of the flight deck like this represents for the carrier?
So the landing area package is typically 50,000, 55,000.
Oh, wow.
So wire area all the way to 205. In this instance, they went all the way to the fantail. So the general, so yeah, landing area skid is L, and went all the way back to the stern. So that's a big section.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think the availability was 21 days. They had to get it done.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, 21 days.
Pretty quick. Could you just walk us through the logistics of planning a 71,000 square foot non-skid replacement?
Oh, cool.
I'm sure that's a huge job.
Oh, it is.
You start off fishing.
You have the equipment involved in doing this much area, the manpower involved in doing this much area, the material, getting that much material is, well, sometimes we have a problem just getting, what, 5,000 or 6,000 square foot of material.
Oh, man.
We're talking about bleeding out the entire supply system to get that much material to be able to install it. And your time frames for amount of work we got, it's going to take to get this done, seeing that we only had 21 days to do it. We basically had teams on there around the clock running, cutting, stripping, cleaning, washing, testing, nonstop. Jeez. And they actually got it done how many days early?
Yeah, so from starting, they had, like Rodolfo said, a lot of equipment. They had six of the biggest pumps. The contractor won the award, but six of the biggest pumps up there, and they were running from 6 in the morning until they were ready to paint that night. And they were in 14 days, they had all the non-skid, all the 71,000 under non-skid in 2 weeks.
That's something.
So they were working up all day, every day.
So are there any key lessons from this experience that you would want to share with maybe other maintenance centers or anything?
Yeah, so the main thing we determined, we actually had to sit down to figure out what was may have been the issue with this, because when we looked at the samples, you're seeing the entire coating system popping off the deck. That's the primer, the intermediate coats, the non-skid, everything is coming off. So that leads us to believe that the prep condition may not have been exactly right. The temperatures may not have been right. So we looked at the time frame we were putting this stuff down and how much time we were taking to make sure we were meeting all of our parameters, and a lot of it was out of parameters. So that was a key thing. Plus, it was the worst time of the year to install non-skid, because the decks could probably get up to probably 150, 160 degrees.
That's pretty hot.
And that's a killer for this stuff.
Any unexpected challenges during this huge project?
Coming into it, we knew it was going to be nights and weekends.
Yeah.
So I was on the deck plate nights and weekends, but that was known up front.
Okay. The only challenge I had was getting to the ship.
Yeah, I think coordinating all parties. You know, us from engineering, and you had the shipbuilding specialist, SBS, and then quality assurance specialist, QAS, and then the contractor, all of them working together as a team.
Yeah.
But that kind of flowed pretty well, once we got going.
Well, this is awesome stuff, guys. Again, thank you so much for meeting with me, Rob and Noel. I do appreciate you. And thank you for, you know, just great people here at Marmac. You know, I'm glad you were able to fly out there and fix it so the ship can, you know, do the nation's work. So thank you again.
Yeah, Rob.
To all our Marmac family listening right now, whether you're a sailor or a civilian, we want to hear from you. If you have an idea for a story that you think would make a great feature on a future episode, we want to know about it. Whether it's a unique project, an inspiring individual, or anything else that showcases the incredible work happening here at Marmac, tell us about it. You can reach out to our public affairs team via our org box, which is found in Global, or feel free to stop by our office in Building LF 18 for a chat. Your stories are what makes this podcast special, so don't hesitate to share your ideas. Now I'm going to hand the mic over to our commanding officer, Captain Jay Young, as he sits down with Command Master Chief David Atkins to get to know him a little better.
Hey, good morning, Marmac team and podcast listeners. This is Captain Jay Young, commanding officer. I'm lucky to be here today with our Command Master Chief, David Atkins. Master Chief is new to the command, been here about, what, a month?
Yes, sir.
A month and a half?
About a month.
So I know our team, everybody's excited to have you on board, and I know our listeners are anxious to get to know who you are. So let's start off with a simple question. Tell us about yourself, where you're from, Navy commands, family, goals.
Absolutely. I was born in Charleston, West Virginia. Lived there until I was about 9 years old. My dad transferred down to Jacksonville, Florida with the railroad. I usually tell people that's where I grew up because that's where most of my memories are. From there, joined the Navy around 2001, thinking that, hey, I'm going to get orders to Jacksonville, Florida. There's two bases here, can't lose. And then I wound up going to Virginia. So I've spent about 13 years in Virginia. I was in the aviation community for a little while, went to the expeditionary side, did an IA to Iraq while I was there. From there, I went out to Petersburg, to Fort Lee, to work with the Air Force as an instructor. Joined that tour, and then from there I went down to Mayport, came back to Virginia, went to Mayport again, back to Virginia, back to Mayport, now I'm back in Virginia. I call Virginia home now. I love it. You can drive 2 hours west and you're in the mountains. It's probably the West Virginia in me that's calling me home to the mountains. But yeah, I got four amazing children. My oldest, Christopher, he's a LS2. He's over down the street at VAW 121. So I stop in every now and then again and make him call me CMC. I have Bryson. He's 14 now, just turned 14 on Sunday. Twins, Brady and Brooke, amazing people. I have a lovely fiance. She's amazing. Definitely helped guide me over the last few years towards my goals and helped me become a better person. On top of that, my dad, he's a great guy. My mom passed about 8 years ago, so I try to go and spend as much time with him as possible, and he's in Jacksonville, Florida as well.
Okay.
As far as hobbies, I love to read. Right now I'm in school doing my Master of Arts in Christian Ministries. This is my fun master's, I call it, because my first master's was more for learning about leadership and making myself marketable when I retire. So this one's for me. So I love to run. I volunteer with Ainsley's Angels and allow disabled children to run races and push them in chairs. And really all my time spent doing schoolwork, running and hanging out with my kids.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Master Chief. So you come to Marmick with a tremendous amount of experience, 23 years in the Navy, joint service, IAs. I know it's early, but the team's going to want to know, what changes are you looking to make while you're at Command Master Chief?
The one thing I make a change on right away in any command I've been to is training. I value training. I value developing people, not necessarily for their technical proficiency, because the chiefs do a really good job of that, but I'm more engaged when it comes to character development, and I want to see people grow as people, because better people make better sailors. The one change right away I always make is chiefs mess training. We roll right into training on character, on the book Legacy. I love that book. But Marmac's great. I was telling somebody the other day that the one thing I love about Marmac so far that I've observed is this culture here, you can't affect it by just one person. Myself, you, or any member of the quad could leave, go somewhere else. The core is so great, and we have such great people that we don't have to worry about it. So the only change you'll see right away for me is more training on character and more training on professional and personal development.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Master Chief. All right, my next three questions, we're going to focus on our fleet, our Marmick family, and then a little bit on you personally. So our fleet, you just came to us as from CMC on USS Ramage. What can Marmick do to best support fleet and our deployers?
I know from experience, we wouldn't go out to sea if it wasn't for Marmick. The motto, we fix ships, is true. I shared with you all when I first got here that on the personal side, that, you know, one of my chiefs died on deployment, and it was the Marmack tech reps that stepped in and took care of the division and took care of the sailors. Both were prior chiefs. The tech reps, the sailors, everyone going over to the ships, they're very engaging. They're not only fixing, but they're teaching. And I think that really the greatest asset we have here at Marmack is teaching people, because when we go over the horizon, Marmack's not going to be there with us. And it's up to what we learn from our technicians here at Marmack and our maintainers. That's what's going to keep our ships in the fight. So I don't really see where Marmack has any area to improve. I think that we teach, we fix, and we allow people to go out and do what they need to do.
Thanks. It's a team sport. On Monday, we got 10 ships underway out of Norfolk. That takes Marmack, that takes fleet, all working together. So thank you. Okay, next question. Now, this is focused more on our Marmack family. So what advice do you have for our sailors who are looking to stay Navy, be the deck plate leaders we need, and maybe even eventually be a Command Master Chief?
Definitely, if you're staying Navy, the resume starts now. Whether you want to be a Chief Petty Officer, you want to be an officer, whatever you want to do, the resume has already started. If you want to be a CMC, then really, it's all about people. You have to love people, and you have to really care. When I was doing my CMC interview with Force Master Chief then, Huben Phillips, he asked me, hey, how do you make your chiefs care? And I was like, well, you can't order people to care. That's an emotion. If you really want to succeed in the Navy and you want to grow and you want to be a leader, start caring. Caring for others and showing up and actually giving them our most valuable resource, which is our time, being a listening ear, offering to assist people when they're down. That's really what matters. And every sailor will see that kindness and caring and showing up and helping others, success is a byproduct of that. And you're always going to succeed when you put others first.
Thank you. Communications is one of the hardest things that we do. Effective communication, communicating out, receiving feedback, responding. What are your goals, and how do you think we can effectively communicate within the command to make everybody's life here better?
Yeah, I read a book last year on deployment. It was called Everybody Communicates, Few People Connect. I think really at the essence of communication is connection. And in order for us to communicate effectively to every member of the team, we have to figure out how to connect with them first. Really the challenge is figuring out how to align their own personal values to our vision and our mission. And that really just comes down to actually, like I said before, walking around, caring for people, talking to them, getting to know them. Because when people know you care, they'll go anywhere with you and go to battle with you, whatever you need. As far as the communication, I think we do a great job here. I was walking around looking at the TVs with all the announcements and all the emails that we get for all the programs that are going on board, and just even having the sound systems throughout the command so we can make 1MC announcements is great. I think that we communicate very well. It's just getting to that piece where people feel connected enough to where they want to listen, because it's there. The information's there. We just have to ensure that the WIFM, everyone knows what's in it for them.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So I know you have solid balance inside the work environment and at home. What can you provide to our sailors and our civilian team and how they should prioritize their day to ensure they have balance both at work and at home?
So when I give the new chiefs a charge, I tell them 1 hour a day. You get 1 hour. That has to be for you. As we talk about with a lot of the sailors in NDOC, that you know, you come here to recharge your battery, but a dead battery doesn't charge. You have to continuously be moving. You have to continuously be charging your battery with things, electrons, protons, neutrons. I'm not a scientist. I don't know what any of that means, but it sounds good, so I'm gonna say it. But taking 1 hour a day, there's a book called The Compound Effect, where it asks at the very beginning of the book, would you rather have $1 million right now or a penny compounded over 30 days? And when I first read it, I was like, I'll take the million.
Yeah.
But then when you read down and you start to see that penny compound, like around day 26 or 27, you're at like $2 or $3 million already. So when I take that, I shift it over to, hey, I have an hour today. Do I want to watch Netflix, or do I want to listen to a podcast that's going to help me grow? Or do I want to read a book, or do I want to go exercise? What do I want to deposit into my bank that's going to compound every day? Because a week is 7 hours, 2 weeks, 14 hours, 52 weeks, 52 hours, 365 days. I now have 365 hours that I've taken and invested in me. And that gives me the balance that I need to not only come to work every day, but also go home and be an effective parent and help other people as well.
I agree completely. I take my hour in the morning for fitness and working out. I try and squeeze in a half hour in the evening for playing guitar. I'm not very good, but I'm working on it. But hour and a half for me.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have more time, take more time. But right. I always say an hour, because at least people usually get 1 hour for lunch. So take that time for you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Last kind of three questions here. I'm still new to Norfolk. You've been here 13 years. It's home for you. So I'm still looking for recommendations in Norfolk. So top three restaurant recommendations in Hampton Roads.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Well, I'm going to give you three, but one of them's closed now, so it's going to break your heart. So number one, we were talking about it the other day, Farmer's Table. The burgers are fresh, like literally from farm to table, super good. Number two, that's closed, but there used to be this place called the Simple Greek, and they had these things called the Greek fries. It was feta cheese, some kind of dressing, and then it was all shooken up with some Greek seasoning. It was so good. I went on deployment and they closed. I came back, I was heartbroken. I couldn't deal with it. But and then number three, it's a Mexican restaurant called Juan's. They're really good. Tuesdays, they always have a taco special, $1.50 tacos. It's a surprise. You don't know what's going to be. But when I'm training for like half marathons, I go there every Tuesday and eat like 10 tacos.
Awesome. All right. I wrote them down. At least the two that are still open.
Yeah.
All right. So top two weekend activities to decompress in Hampton Roads.
I would say here in Hampton Roads, there's just so much to do. Whether you want to volunteer, whether you want to go down to the beach. Sometimes I just drive 2 hours to the west and go up in the mountains, go to like Strasburg or Front Royal. I would say that the Mariners Museum is really good over in Newport News. And you can double down, because right outside the Mariners Museum is Nolan Trail. And it's actually one of the few trails you can run around here that actually has up and down hills. And there's a lot of scenery there as well. If you want to come volunteer at the jail with me and do ministry, that's open as well. So let me know.
All right, I'll take you up on that. First Landing State Park.
It's a great one too.
Great park.
Oh, and Mount Trashmore. I know it's like everybody knows where it's at, but I still skateboard
I know it's a high-risk activity for an old guy like me.
Don't tell safety that.
I don't do tricks. I just ride up and down the ramps. I wear a helmet. I got knee pads and elbow pads. I'm safe. I even wear a reflective vest so nobody runs over me.
Probably for the best. All right, last question. It's the top one, putting you on the spot. Hampton Roads still lucky to have four seasons. So spring, summer, fall, winter, what's your favorite? Why?
I like the fall. I like it because it's really, you know, I'm coming off summer and I'm complaining about how hot it is. And I love days. I love the days where I wake up in the morning, it's a little chilly. And then by the afternoon, I can wear shorts and a shirt and go home and go work out. But I also just love the season. Halloween's one of my favorite days to celebrate. And we get the good Thanksgiving meal, get to spend time with family and friends. And to me, fall really sets us up great for like the holiday season.
I'm fall.
Yeah.
Football season.
Yeah.
All colors.
Yeah, because you have winter, spring, and summer where you're just, there's no sports. And I don't count.
Cornhole.
Yeah. That's the only thing on ESPN. It's like a real activity, like a sport. And I'm just kind of like, what are we doing?
So, yeah, I'm with you. It's fun, though. All right. Well, team, that's Command Master Chief David Atkins. Thank you. We know he's a foodie. He's a runner. He's a reader. And I don't know how he finds time to work on his second master's degree, but it's pretty awesome. So, Master Chief, thank you very much for joining us. And have a great day.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
And that's a wrap on this episode of the Maintainer Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and our new Instagram page by typing in Mid-Atlantic Regional Maintenance Center. You can also subscribe to our news page so you can stay up to date on what's happening around the command. Until next time, stay safe and thanks for listening.